The Around the NFL Podcast has its swagger back.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes. Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Getting the band back together. Much thanks to Connie Fox and Patrick Claibon for sitting in while Mark and I were at our private retreat in the mountains.
It's nice to see one of the world's great romances, you know, living life again.
We are. Well, we actually didn't stay in a cabin together. We didn't even see each other.
Yeah, I didn't see Dan for more than 1 second all weekend, so.
But
I met you and Simone, you know, who was having a birthday.
That was back, the romance is back on track, did you say? You're suggesting that it was not on track.
I'm just trying to pivot. Trying to pivot
out. Consistently on track.
Greg, very awkward in social settings at times.
He did
this is
best.
What we're talking about. When you say you don't know what we're talking about, that's kind of what we're talking.
I would say I'm comfortable. I just make other people feel awkward.
Mm. I think you do a fine job in the post-softball setting.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
We're 2-0, our softball team, by the way. Another thumping of a middling unit. So I'm very happy about the start of the season for the Shield. And that's something to be excited about, Mark. We'd love to get you at a game.
I definitely intend to come. When is the next game?
We are playing, I believe, a week from Thursday. We're on the rare double bye, which could hurt our momentum a little bit, but, you know, nothing to get too upset about. Recharge the batteries.
I will be there.
Good, exciting.
To observe.
This is the Around the NFL Podcast driven by Hyundai. And today's show is an important one because we are less than, damn it, I wanted to say less than 24 hours away from the draft. That is not accurate. So I have to say something less sexy, like we are less than 31 hours away from the 2017 NFL Draft in Philadelphia, an event that will be held, Wes,
outside!
I take my duties as host very seriously, and I did want to try to get a Philadelphia area meteorologist on the show. So I reached out to Connie Fox, who strangely didn't get back to me.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit odd. She's in Philadelphia right now. Reached out to John Gonzalez, who also did get back to me.
Who's that?
John Roland Gonzalez, born March 12, 1977, is an American sports writer who's married to NFL media broadcaster Colleen Wolf. John, who's a Pisces, resides in Los Angeles with his wife and two dogs.
John did not know any, had one friend, but took a job recently in D.C., so no weather person to come on the show. So we have no idea. And in a way, it's more exciting.
Because, yeah, that's the way to go.
Yeah, the weatherman's never wrong. So why do we want to know that information?
We want to be flying blind on this one.
Very exciting. But anyway, the draft is tomorrow. So you know what we're going to do. You know what it is. Go get my lunch. The NFL Draft Edition. And don't you misophonies. Don't you dare come at me. Or what's coming, Sid?
The orange.
You don't want the orange. You don't want it.
The sound of someone eating an orange is especially bad.
Ugh.
It is not pleasant.
You don't want it. Because the banana was bad. Oh, the banana was real bad. But the orange can make ears bleed. That's all I'm saying. Send me one tweet. One of you son of a... Send me one tweet before Thursday show, and you're getting the orange.
I'm in their court. I cannot stand this sounds of people chewing various foods. And you take particular – that right there. You take particular joy in it, and it is a torture to some.
I feel like eating a banana should be soundless.
Is it, though, Sydney? Is it?
There's some sucking and some lip smacking.
That's going to be terrible.
Yeah. Anyway, so we will do our props, our sandwich props, whereby we each make predictions for the draft. We go around the room a few times, and then we track those predictions with the help, of course, of the great Nick Fortier.
Fortier.
Was that ever – do we know for sure?
He confirmed to me that it's Nick Fortier.
Oh, Nick Fortier. Kind of like Phil Plantier. Remember him, Greg?
Oh, yeah. Great batting stance on that left-handed slugger of the Red Sox.
An all-time batting stance for Phil Plantier. But anyway, Nick Fortier at gogetmylunch.org tracks all the standings for our predictions. So we will make some for the draft. Very exciting. But before we do that, we're going to hit the news. So I don't know. Let's do it, Sid.
Before the battle can be won on the field, the war must be won on draft day.
Got about 10 hours.
I'm going to do what's best for the team.
That, of course, one of Mark Sessler's favorite films of all time, Draft Day, starring Costner. And they just put up some clips. If you're curious about the movie, they just put up some clips on YouTube. Various clips from that film.
They just put them up?
Yeah. It's you know that movieclips.com or something, and they actually, that's part of their job. They take different parts from movies and then just throw it up on YouTube. If you're a Draft Day fan, and Mark, I know you are, go there and relive one of the great conquests of the Cleveland Browns history, their fake 2014 draft with Kevin Costner's GM.
Well, this is a tired bit. I don't think about this movie at all, and it's brought me nothing but agitation from the three of you and others.
Well, if you want to relive how excited you were at the time, you can just Google, like I just did right now, Draft Day Movie Mark Sessler Review, and you'll actually find the official Draft Day Movie account, which includes the review from Mark Sessler, delivers on the great tension of the NFL draft while showing how human the entire process is.
Full of heart from start to finish.
As I told you.
Full of heart from start to finish. Delivers on the great tension of the NFL draft while showing how human the entire process is.
Let me tell you one
thing. Mark Sessler, NFL.com.
As I mentioned, I had multiple glasses of wine in me when I texted that review. And I'm not going to take it back. I did write it. I should not have ever done that, obviously. But Greg and Dan have now put themselves into a special little bucket, and it's called the Revenge Bucket, and it's going to be an incredible practical joke that I will enact on the two of you, but you will never know that it came from me. And it will not happen in the next 15 to 20 hours where, oh, that's a callback to the podcast when I took Mark to town on a movie review he did 3.5 years ago. No, it may come 8 months from now, 18 years from now, but it will be severe. Remember only that? Wes.
I hope,
as long as Wes doesn't slip up, only Wes survives.
I mean, he already has. He was quoting you as well. I don't know how Wes got away.
Wes came out of the theater calling it a solid B, if I don't
regret. I do not distance myself from that movie at all. I think it's underrated.
No, I like, because Dan and Mark actually wrote, little known fact, a review of the movie on the website. And that came up.
Right. I forgot about that.
Known fact.
Yeah, that came up when I just Googled it, too. And it is funny how toned down it is in that. It's solid football fan for fans in need of a fix. So that's a little more tempered.
That was a go-by line. I was bringing it down a little bit. Mark was pumping it up.
That's because there had already been occurrences, I believe, on our website as like a background splash page where Dan Helly also got pulled into this. He and I had our quotes on the back of every NFL.com article, and I thought, I will never allow this to happen in my life ever again.
Remember Mark's last revenge bucket?
No, what was it?
We were all turned into cat lovers on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. That was good, though.
This will
not have the feel-good aura of that.
Right, that's still my profile picture on Twitter.
All right, let's do some news, and we will start with, oh, my God, Adrian Peterson got a job, ladies and gentlemen. Congratulations, buddy. The New Orleans Saints and the veteran running back finalized a 2-year deal that will pay Peterson $7 million. The deal included $3.5 million guaranteed in 2017, and it's worth up to $8.25 million with incentives and escalators. This puts Peterson in a backfield with Mark Ingram, which on paper, Greg, looks like it'd do some damage. Do you like the move?
I do. I think it makes sense for the Saints to add another offensive weapon. They're a team that likes to have multiple running backs. Their backfield, despite Ingram being there, was very thin until this move. So I think they were going to add someone in the draft or in free agency. And to me, you're going to get a motivated Adrian Peterson. And I'm not too worried about who gets the snaps, who gets the, you know, who gets the carries. I think there's plenty to go around with for Ingram and Peterson, and that this is a team where he fits pretty well. They don't use the shotgun very much. Among the bottom teams in the entire NFL in terms of using the shotgun, and I trust Sean Payton in terms of how he's going to use different offensive weapons, including Peterson.
I think everybody's reading this situation wrong, and I think the NFL is reading Adrian Peterson wrong. He should be the favorite for comeback player of the year honors. Mm. He's a freakish athlete. He can't be compared to any other 32-year-old running back we've seen this century. He's better than them. He's more physically gifted than them. He's an exceptional talent. And I don't – this idea that he's Tim Hightower, give me a break. Tim Hightower coming off a half a decade out of the game and had to bust his butt just to make the team. Peterson got a $2.5 million signing bonus. He's not going to be the backup to Mark Ingram. It's not – well, that's just not true.
I think it doesn't matter who's backup, who started. They're going to split it. So they're going to both be factors. Peterson – will likely not be on the field as much on passing downs. But Ingram's never played more than 550 snaps in his life. Anyways, the Saints were at their best when they had four guys in their backfield. Pierre Thomas, Chris Ivory, who am I thinking about back then? Darren Sproles, Pierre, they would go three or four deep, and I think that's what they'll do.
I think it's one of the more interesting landing spots, and they play the Vikings, which is fantastic. For me, it's like I want to just make sure that Adrian Peterson, who seems totally motivated as a football player from wire to wire, that at this situation, they all talk about there's a clear role, it's great for the Saints. But 9 weeks in, if Adrian Peterson isn't happy with his role, if there's issues with Mark Ingram not being happy with the role, what happens there? Maybe it works out fine. For me, it's a why not. If you can get Adrian Peterson, he came at a pretty low cost. You're the Saints. You've basically been a non-entity in the playoff picture for too many years at this point. Go for it. Why not?
It is amazing, again, how tough it is to be a running back around 30 years of age, and Peterson's 32. This is a guy who's a legendary player, and he is earning $3.5 million average salary this season, putting him behind the likes of Frank Gore, no disrespect, Greg, Theo Riddick, Bilal Powell, Ryan Matthews. He'll make less than Mark Ingram. So basically, at the end of the day, despite the fact that he has this legendary resume, despite the fact that he's already shown once that he can defy the odds when he came back from that knee injury and ran for 2,000 yards, he had to settle for journeyman-type money, and that could be an incentive for him as well, I would think.
In his statement, I think it was telling that he was explained that he was going to have a role. He's not expecting to dominate carries. I'm sure he wants to beat out Mark Ingram because he's a competitor, but Ian Rappaport, our NFL Network insider, pointed out it was very purposeful that he's making $250,000 less than Ingram. They didn't want to upset Ingram. They said, if you're coming in, you're going to come in below Ingram, who's been there for 6 years and has been our guy, essentially, in terms of a between-the-tackles runner, and Peterson accepted that. He signed the contract.
Well, he did now. I want to see where we are in November with that. That's all.
He also said, I could tell Sean Payton did his due diligence on how I could contribute.
Yeah.
And there's no way, you will never convince me that Adrian Peterson signed on with Sean Payton and telling him, you're going to be Mark Ingram's backup.
No,
no way.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that.
Payton told him, look, the best, because this is how all backfields in the NFL work. Week to week, if you're running well, you're going to play. And Adrian Peterson is confident enough that, of course, he looks at Mark Ingram and says, I'm more talented than him. I'm going to play.
But Travaris Cadet will wind up getting 100 snaps. There's only 1,100 snaps all year. They're going to play Mark Ingram. And I think it's a great addition for a team that has a lot of weapons. They have a chance. I know we make fun of the Saints defense and they're 7-9 every single year. But if they can just be somewhat close to the middle of the pack on defense, they have a great young group of receivers, as good as they've had really since they were in the Super Bowl, maybe even better than then, and they still have an effective quarterback. They got a chance.
And
it opens up, it also opens up the fact that
they were better last year.
You have your backfield wrapped up. They want to go defense heavy in the draft.
They have to be better. They were better last year. They just have to be even better.
Well, they're doing what the Cowboys do. Run the ball, hide your defense.
Yeah.
Adrian Peterson – signed. And now Marshawn Lynch looks like this is squared away as well. He should become an official member of the Oakland Raiders on Wednesday. Lynch's representatives and the Raiders have agreed to terms on a contract, and the team has hashed out the details of a trade for Lynch's rights with the Seahawks. Multiple sources informed the negotiations, according to Mike Garofolo and Ian Rappaport. The draft compensation will be a swap of late-round picks in 2018. Seattle gets Oakland's fifth-round pick in exchange for Seattle's sixth-round pick, according to a source. And now the only thing left is for the five-time Pro Bowl back to take a physical with the Raiders. And if that checks out, this saga, Mark, is in the books, and Marshawn Lynch joins the Raiders in an offense that has a chance to be the AFC's best.
Yes, it does. I think it boils down to this elongated saga. When this gets going, what kind of player is Marshawn Lynch? I'm of the mindset that, you know, we know who he is. The break, the year-long break, probably got his body back in shape. He has a chance to, like in the last situation with Adrian Peterson, they have other good running backs. I like Jalen Richard. But if he's going to be the Marshawn Lynch of old, he's going to have a carved-out big role in that offense. It just is a matter of how durable he is, where he is physically.
He didn't look quite the same his last full season. He wasn't healthy. He's going to be running behind a much better offensive line. But if I had to choose which of these two running backs I'd feel more confident in, it would be Adrian Peterson.
But yeah, I don't know if we have to choose one or the other. I feel like they'll both exceed expectations because expectations for 30-year-old running backs are so low, and both guys have fresh legs. Both guys should be on top five NFL offenses, which is kind of interesting that everybody poo-poos the idea of power backs in 2017, especially aging power backs, and two of the best offenses want them.
I think Lynch, to me, is the bigger risk in terms of bringing him on board to an offense and hoping that he becomes an important part of it, just because he was out of football for a year. The last time we saw him, he wasn't at his best. He is, let's be honest here, I mean, this is a guy, he's going to be playing in Oakland. There could be some distractions for him, a guy that is tied in so tightly with that community. You don't know if Marshawn Lynch is going to be the same focused type of professional athlete he was when we last saw him. So I think there is some risk there. Whereas Peterson, to me, seems like a guy that has you have less to worry about in that.
But Peterson was essentially out of football last year, too, with another major injury. I mean, it's
fair.
There are risks with both, but I think we see these as reliable players who aren't coming back to make money.
And it's
they're coming back to make a statement.
And we get to watch them. I mean, they're going to make them more entertaining when they're on TV. By the time people listen to this, Lynch will probably have passed his physical and this news will be official, and he did send out a tweet while we were up here, which basically confirmed it, saying, "Yes, Lord, 12th man, I'm thankful, but just got real. I had hella fun in Seattle, but I'm really from Oakland, though, like really, really, really from Oakland, though. Town business breath on me."
Can someone decipher that and translate it to me in English?
Oh, how dare you.
I think he's excited.
It says I'm excited to play for my hometown Raiders.
We like these Raiders this year. Is that right?
Well, he's thanking God and also the 12th man, which is the Seattle
Seahawks fan.
He's thanking
something called a Lord. No, L-A-W-D.
That's Jesus. And then he says, this speculation, will it or won't it happen? Oh, no.
There's something about a female deer in here twice.
And, Wes, I'm trying to give you the information you asked for. But despite my love of playing for the Seahawks, I am an Oakland guy. That's where I'm from. Those are my people, and I'm really excited to represent my city. This is about Oakland and about me and joining back up with the Oakland people.
What about the last line, which is a purposeful misspelling of business breath?
I don't – that one, town business breath on me, that one, I'm not with you. I don't know.
It's not cool to spell correctly. That's what I get out of this.
Next on Four White Guys, we discuss the social implication of the new Kendrick Lamar album.
I don't know why, like, wanting grammar to be correct is, or wanting communication to be correct has to be a white guy.
This is on Wes's radar.
I know.
No, like,
wow.
Since when is it like you need street cred just to say things in a certain way? Just use the communication correctly, please, so we can tell what you're saying.
Mark?
Well, the language is always shifting. The people that were 30 years older than us laughed at the way that we communicated and how we did it. And even in our newsroom, the language has shifted in the last 5-6 years we've been there drastically. So I just see it as more of that.
Look, say what you want, but there's a way to write. Language is shifting one way for speaking and another way for writing. You have to be able to communicate.
I'm with you. I just see you and I as like standing there as this tidal wave is like basically swallowing us up, and we're, you know, that missive is quiet and going away.
Let's just move on. Martavis Bryant is conditionally reinstated by the NFL. The team, that team being the Pittsburgh Steelers, announced Tuesday Bryant missed the entirety of the 2016 season for multiple violations of the league's policy against the substances of abuse. Bryant is going to obviously have to walk the straight and narrow path here to stay off the league's radar. But if he does that, and if he gets back the trust of Ben Roethlisberger, who seemed very miffed about the way things played out last year, Wes, the Steelers, and we were just talking about the Raiders could have the best offense. The Steelers, my goodness, this offense could be close to unstoppable.
Well, spoiler alert, I'm going to have a post-draft banger on the best offenses in the NFL.
Ooh.
The three teams we've talked about so far will all be in the top five, the Saints, the Raiders, and the Steelers. If you compare the Raiders, everyone's talking about them, to the Steelers, I take the Steelers at every position. Every position.
I bet the Patriots are in that top five, too.
Yes, they will be.
I think this is a potentially
bigger deal. Every position, even the offensive line?
Even the offensive line. I would take the Steelers at every position. And we saw in 2015, in the second half of the season especially, when the Steelers were doing amazing things, Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant were the best by far receiving duo in the NFL.
I think this is potentially a bigger deal than the last two players we just talked about. He's not a bigger name. More people don't know about Martavis Bryant, but him plugging him back into Pittsburgh's offense could do more than Lynch or Adrian Peterson, either of those two other teams.
I said on Twitter, I think this was, you know, that could be the biggest offseason addition any team made. Then James Palmer, you know, pointed out, well, what about J.J. Watt? And I thought, all right, James Palmer.
On offense.
You know, you do a great job. You do a great job covering all the teams. You've got great hair. Why do you got to poke holes immediately in my point with a better point? Because I guess J.J. Watt would be technically.
Is there something going on with you and James Palmer?
Twitter is about interaction and debate. It's not I'm in a silo.
No,
my opinion just beams out over the land.
He made a fair point. J.J. Yeah, Watt is great. But Bryant.
It seemed to anger you. That's the only thing. It's like, if he made a good point, why wouldn't it just be like, oh, good point, JP. Let's move on with our day.
Well, it's a bit. Plus this guy, he's got enough. He's got enough going on in his life. You know, great at his job.
Yeah.
He was called the brother with the great hair by Willie McGinnis on Live Air, which, you know, everyone wants.
He has great hair. It feels like sort of action figure-y military hair. Like, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect.
I got you with that. That's a good description.
I'm going to – all right. Hair respects hair. The only thing I'll say about James is hair.
The only thing
I'm going to say about it, it's a little bit too perfect. Bust it up a little bit.
I'm sure he does out on town on a Saturday night.
More suspension talk. Darryl Washington. Remember that guy? I barely do. But the NFL on Tuesday notified the Cardinals linebacker that he has been reinstated on a conditional basis. Washington has been suspended without pay since May of 2014. Yes, folks, almost 3 years, for violating the league's policy and program for substances of abuse. His ban was tied to marijuana, which, if it was just weed, the guy was out of football for 3 years of smoking weed?
He did a lot of other stuff.
He had a lot of other problems.
Okay.
There were other, yes.
He had some incidents. Off-field incidents.
He's been off my radar for a while. The 30-year-old linebacker may join the Cardinals at their training facility, participate in meetings, conditioning work, and similar activities, the league announced. But we don't know, Mark, if the Cardinals even will choose to keep him with them after this long stay away from the game. He was a productive member of the team before it all went sideways.
Yeah, the Cardinals put out about as lukewarm of a statement as you possibly could. It basically said, considering we have been prohibited from having contact with Washington over the last 3 years, it would be premature today to discuss a potential return to the team. They basically said, we are super plugged into the draft. We'll deal with this when we have time.
Which is fair.
Very fair. Yeah. Because, you know, Steve Keim, when he was suspended in the offseason in 2014, Washington Steve Keim came out with about as strong a statement as you could against him, because it wasn't just the marijuana. It was, you know, there was an assault issue with a former girlfriend. It was basically a myriad of nonsense where...
And failing more tests.
More tests, multiple tests. There's, you know, the Cardinals at that time, Super Bowl window wide open. We don't have time for players we can't rely on. Next man up is what they said. And so now you're not waiting for him necessarily to come back into the building.
I think they'll cut him.
Really?
Yeah. I think just the statements they've made over the years have been so negative about him. He's 30 years old. He was a very good player, for people that don't remember. A second-team All-Pro, but that was 2012, and he's 30, and he's been a mess. And I just their statements over the last two or three years have been so scathing at points, you know, borderline scathing, that I think they'll just let him go.
He was one of the best inside linebackers in football right before he suspended. But his game is pure speed. He's a lot like Ryan Shazier. He's 30 years old now. I don't know if that pure speed's going to be there when you're running a 4.48 as a linebacker. I don't know if you're going to do that at age 30.
Domestic violence, too. The climate, it sounds crazy, but it's changed even since he first
completely changed
suspended. And I think that could be a factor, too, in him getting cut.
Dan, on the trope front,
yes,
he has released a statement saying that he is in the best shape of my life. He's
oh, like, yes.
Trope alert.
Article
trope alert.
8H.
Trope alert. Trope alert.
The articles of the trope.
Trope alert.
Also not bloody likely.
Moving on. Let's talk a little draft buzz. Little bit of draft buzz. A buzz. That's a buzz sound. The Browns. Oh, the Browns. They got the whole world in the palm of their little hand, Mark. See, the little globe. Sitting in their little brown paw. Picking at number 1 and number 12.
Lucky the Rams lost that game to the Niners for you, Mark. You were right to celebrate that day. I mean, think about
yeah.
that.
Well, we'll see where the celebration comes or where it ends.
2 days away, now just 1 day away from the NFL draft, the Browns are starting to make some moves. Owners of the 1st and 12th pick, they need a quarterback. But here's the thing. NFL Network's Mike Silver reported the Browns have spoken with at least 4 teams in the top 8 about trading up. Mark, recklessly speculate the 4 teams in the top 8 that they're talking to.
I would say that you have spoken with the 49ers.
Because that's
the
one.
49ers have wisely said that they want Mitchell Trubisky potentially at number 2. I think the Titans at number 5 make a ton of sense because you want to get in front of the Jets. And it honestly, if your key is to get in front of the Jets, I would say maybe even the Bears and the Jaguars. Mm.
Well, the Jets too make sense.
Yeah, the Jets.
Yeah, the Jets. All right. I mean, if the Jets aren't, if the Jets don't want Mitchell Trubisky or a quarterback, then you could flip out with them too.
Right. So the Jets, the Titans, the 49ers, the Jaguars are an option. What was the other team you had there?
Basically Jets. Every team.
I mean, 1 through 2 through 6.
I mean,
basically.
To me, the little pressure points, Tennessee, you know, at 5,
they want to trade.
They've made it clear through, you know, Daniel Jeremiah reported that they have made it clear that they want to trade down. They've said publicly there's a 50-50 chance they'll trade.
Hold on. He said at least 50-50, yeah. Which tells me it's 55-45, Dan.
Yes.
And then the other team to me is the Bills at 10 could take a quarterback. So you would think you would, if you were gonna move up, you want to move ahead of the next two teams in front of them, the Saints and the Bills, who theoretically could take quarterback.
Did you hear any, Wes, my family was in town, so I was kind of out of pocket. But did you hear any of that buzz over the weekend about 58-42?
No.
Streets talking.
58-42?
Why wouldn't they be discussing that? I mean, I could see why that's
rising. 55-45, it's their moment right now. So I'm not saying that won't continue to be the case. But 58-42, just keep an eye on it.
I would say I've got nothing but love for 58-42.
GC.
GC.
Speaking of the Browns. Mark, I think you have a statement to make, potentially, or you could say refrain from it, but on April 18th, you tweeted, "I'm tempered and lost as a Browns fan, but the hopeful / illogical spirit in me that fell for Cleveland in 86 hears two words, Patrick Mahomes."
Yeah.
Update.
I mean, the key word in there was illogical and sort of lost and everything else. Like, I really... Here's where I stand. If Cleveland is going to trade up or do anything, it better be for another rock solid defensive type prospect. I don't want them to go up and reach and give away picks for any of the quarterbacks. I'm not saying I've studied this as much as other people. It certainly have not, but starting to watch more and more Mitchell Trubisky, more and more of Mahomes and all of them, I think these guys are all so imperfect that I cannot understand why you would trade up or why you'd allow this to leak out of your building to such a degree. I kind of feel that a little bit that this might be a massive smokescreen. It might all be nonsense, but I am not sitting here pining for one of these quarterbacks at all. I would rather them not trade up at all and get two great players at 1 and 12.
I am starting to feel better in terms of there was some unrest about the Myles Garrett situation. Feels like we're very close to getting the report that it's a done deal. The Browns will take Myles Garrett.
If it is not, I think you have to suffer the risk of 31 other teams. There have been words bandied around, shouldn't be in the league if they get this wrong. Well, no, someone said that they should not be in the league if they don't understand that you take Myles Garrett number one. They simply are not competitive. You cannot go into year two of Hugh Jackson, where it sounds like there's issues inside the building about who wants what, if that's true, with Myles Garrett not being the number one pick and letting that fall to a team like the Niners. It's an unbelievable situation that sets you up for years of comparison with the player you passed on.
So what would we call up, like the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, or?
I would not do anything at that point. I don't know what I would do. Come on.
What if we got rid of the Browns?
We relegated the Browns. 31 teams is a terrible number. You can't stay at 31.
It's an easy answer. The Montreal Alouettes.
Okay.
Flip places with them?
Yeah. Here we go.
Well, I agree, by the way.
It's embarrassing.
I agree with what you're saying, Mark, in terms of that you're suspecting this could all be a smokescreen.
Yeah.
I think what you're saying about not being excited about Trubisky is so logical, it's going to be true, that teams aren't going to be trading up for these quarterbacks, and the smart play will be to see if they fall down. And of course, some will get taken, but I just can't buy it that teams are going to be giving up extra draft stock.
It is every year, moving on, there is always seems to be a first-round talent where a bombshell drops that messes up draft boards and also potentially messes up a person's life. And in this case, Ohio State cornerback Garyon Conley, who is considered one of the top prospects in this draft, it was learned this week that he's being investigated by police after he was accused of rape by a woman earlier this month. That is according to Cleveland police, who confirmed it to NFL media. Conley has not been charged or arrested in connection with the alleged incident, but it goes without saying, Greg Rosenthal, that this could lead some teams to go in a different direction. We saw it with Laremy Tunsil on a much lesser potential situation involving the player, which was the weed bong gas mask thing. Lael Collins, a couple of years ago, opted to not get drafted at all and went the other route. Told teams not to draft him. And now Conley finds himself potentially in a similar situation.
Yeah, it is. It's tough to know how this will shake out. It's such a serious accusation. The police, as you mentioned, confirmed to the NFL that they're investigating it, and it's going to take time. You know, I went and looked in just where was this guy going to get drafted to begin with? He was thought of as a top three or four cornerback, was probably a mid to late type of first round pick. And with this sort of uncertainty, I mean, people have compared it to Collins. To me, they're different. They're very different situations, especially because Collins told teams not to draft him. You would think teams would just stay away, but we're guessing about things that are sort of unknowable, right? I mean, wouldn't they just stay away?
It just happened. We just learned about the case, and so all that has to play out. I think it must be a surprise to scouts, because I was looking at Bob McGinn puts out the scouting reports and talks to scouts about these players. And the words used to describe Conley were great character kid, everybody loves this guy, really good teammate, leader of the group. So it's not someone where there's like this map, this history of strange behavior, illegal behavior on any level. So it's terrible timing. And if it's true, then he won't be drafted at all. We're not going to know, though, that by the time Thursday comes around.
Moving on. Jake Long was the number one pick of the 2008 NFL draft. And he is calling it a career. Almost 32 years old, he announced his decision on Twitter on Monday, almost 9 years to the day when he became the first overall pick of the 2008 draft ahead of Chris Long and who?
Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan, who went number three that year. Long released a long statement about his decision to leave the game. Injuries have basically just completely destroyed him in the last couple of years after he was a true lockdown left corner for several years.
Left tackle.
No, he was a corner, actually, Wes. Do your homework. A lockdown left tackle for multiple years with the Dolphins. So, you know, notable to bring it up. Nice career for Jake, but I do have a statement to make.
You do.
I do. As the CEO / GM / director of communications for...
/inventor.
You are the Jerry Jones in this situation.
/ Jera.
In so many ways.
Of the San Diego Greybeards. Big announcement here. The San Diego Greybeards will induct longtime left tackle Jake Long into our Ring of Honor on Sunday, October 22nd at halftime of our home contest against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Please join us as we honor Jake for his years of service to the NFL's most senior-friendly franchise.
Seems fitting.
--30.
He's got everything you look for in a franchise-caliber player for the Greybeards.
He was...
Once an All-Pro...
Always an All-Pro on the Greybeards. He was on my Greybeards team in both the 2015 and 2016 outfits. And I'll tell you what, I thought long and hard about putting him on 2017. I think when I decided not to, once he saw the article get published on NFL.com, he said, if the Greybeards are passing on me, I think maybe it's time to move to the next step in my life.
I think you are over your long pun limit for this whole segment.
Those are all unintentional. That's what's happening in the news.
No Jay Cutler?
Yeah.
All right.
Who cares?
The rest of the league doesn't care about him, neither do we.
Jay Cutler wants to play. His agent is telling people.
There you go.
Good luck. Good luck, Jay. Now. Moving on. It is time. And I want to start this by saying we have gotten sloppy. Much like we failed in our promotion of our video shows that just ran for the last month. It wasn't something we did on purpose. It wasn't, you know, we didn't mean for it to happen this way, but we kind of let ourselves down with that a little bit, and you know.
We being part of a collective we, but we are part of...
Right, maybe others could have helped us as well with that. I don't know if anyone in the world was aware that we had those video shows, but maybe next time around there will be a general awareness. But this situation with Go Get My Lunch, you turd, is that we have gotten a little lax in paying off sandwiches. And I just want to say, with peace and love, that I don't think we should do Go Get My Lunch anymore unless we get back to the core of it, which was... Put your sandwich where your mouth is, and if you get a proposition incorrect, you got to deal out sandwiches. It's coming out of your wallet. Thoughts?
I am all for this. I think that there should be some accountability attached to your propositions.
Oh, I totally agree. Looking at the Go Get My Lunch site, I think I was 11-6 in our last little round.
Why do you always turn this into like a Greg Rosenthal promotional campaign?
My family hasn't eaten.
An addict.
That could feed us for a week. They've been waiting for those sandwiches, and I have to tell my kids. No.
I thought that maybe having some responsibility attached to these picks might ruin your percentages a little bit.
Right, because
what
I think
even
on a subconscious
level. The three
level,
of us might care a little bit more and actually try.
On a subconscious level, I do believe.
We only stopped like for one or two times. Wes was 3-9 last time. I mean, I think.
It's a big
round
for
Wes. Why would we just start now? Don't we have to make up these old sandwiches?
Wes, why don't we? Okay, we're all in agreement. Let's get back into paying off these sandwich
debts. I didn't express agreement with that. Okay. But here's what I say though. One thing when it comes to paying them off, it's extremely murky. Because at this point, we've had two waves of sandwich bets. Super Bowl and free agency.
Yeah.
And everyone's sort of up and down with our standings. You kind of have a good run, a bad run. We've got to find some sort of system to find out what anyone actually owes.
Well, let's start now.
Right.
And the standings will, you know, obviously all the picks count. But starting with the draft here is a nice chance to reboot in terms of the payment.
So if you've succeeded up to now, as Greg has,
Unfortunately,
you were out of luck.
It would be very good to have lost lots of sandwiches the last few rounds.
Right.
Because it never really mattered. Your word didn't matter then. Now we'll just arbitrarily decide it matters now.
Now you're right. That is
good.
Bad news for you. But, you know, come on, get over it. Very good news for Wes. And now, Wes, before we get into these, you have to understand that I think this is a very important round for you.
I agree.
2017 NFL draft. You went 3-11 for a free agency.
You did go 1-0 in the Super Bowl.
Once upon a time.
How did you get that one? What was the one? You weren't even there.
I think it was marks that the Super Bowl will not happen.
That's right.
Yeah.
Nailed that one.
I think if you'll look back on history, when we first started this segment, I was in first place for a while. Mm. And then I went in the bucket like you did during the draft 1 year, Dan.
I did. I had that really bad draft, which really the fact that I'm just behind Greg is a real credit to the old Zeuser coming back from what I think was a 1-14 2015 draft. But here we are now. Wes, this is your opportunity to get back in the game, crawl back to 500. And once you get to 500,
anything can happen.
Now, let's get into them. Mark, we start with you, your first proposition. And for those that are listening to for the first time, each of us will go around, make a prediction about the draft, and then each of us will have the opportunity to take up that person on their prediction and say, no, you're wrong, jabroni. And then there are sandwiches in play for the winner and the loser.
My first prop is two words long. It rains.
Rains?
Where's the draft, Wes?
Outside!
It is outside, and it is an incredible risk. You are going right up to Mother Nature, and you're saying, we're taking you on. We want 3 days of sunny, blissful weather, low winds. I'm seeing some precipitation.
No Googling the weather.
Are we not allowed to do any research?
I would say, if you have not done any up to now, I would not if I were you, but you are more than welcome to do whatever you want to do.
Well, here, this is a perfect example. Maybe a couple months ago, I'd say, yeah, why not? It's going to rain. It's not going to rain. Let's go for it. But now I know there's
right. You either know that there's a very good chance or that there's a little chance. I don't know. I think
the weather in the East is very unpredictable.
Absolutely.
If you want to tie yourself to a weather report, be my guest. I would say that even if it rains at all,
any amount of precipitation,
any water from the sky, and we have Connor Orr on the scene. I'm going to have him on this minute to minute.
Well, it's only during the draft. Now, what if it's overnight Friday night, but not during the draft?
I think it needs to be during the draft. I don't think it's fair
Thursday,
to say
Friday or Saturday.
Thursday, Friday, or Saturday from when the picks begin to end. Not in the, if it rains in the middle of the night, I'm not going to tag you to that. That seems a little ridiculous.
I was thinking just Thursday night, but you're saying for the entire weekend.
The draft is a 3-day affair.
I'm going to take you up on that. And I haven't even looked yet.
Sure.
I'm going to look anyways.
What if it rains during off hours?
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to only peg you during active, like bell opens, bell closes type thing. I think that's making it even more fair.
I'm going to look at the 5-day weather. Oh, I think it's
I maybe should not have taken you up.
Well, Greg already did.
It looks like right now a 20% chance of precipitation at its high on Saturday.
80% in your corner.
10% Friday, partly cloudy. So it
30% here on Thursday, according to the National Weather Service. But I took you on it. I'll take you.
Yeah.
Why not?
Weather.com is 10%. So you say it will rain.
I am saying it will rain at one point during the active pick session of the draft, either Thursday, Friday, or Saturday.
No precipitation.
I have not done any homework on this issue and purposely tuned out Greg and Dan during this segment. I'm taking you up on it as well.
I like it.
All right. So there you go. A lot of sandwiches on the line. Tides of rain. Chris Wessling, here it is. A big, big round for Chris. We all know it. The pressure's on. No pressure. No diamonds. Chris Wessling.
Should the 49ers stay put at number two, they will not draft an offensive player, which means no Leonard Fournette, no Mitchell Trubisky.
If the 49ers do not trade out of the round, they will not take an offensive
player. Interesting. Because no one really thinks they'll take Trubisky. I mean, that would be a stunner.
Right.
All kinds of reporters do.
I don't think. I haven't seen. No one takes it too seriously.
All Country Reporter's on our network, dude.
No, well, we've already said we're not buying it.
They're throwing it out there that the 49ers are putting it out there. Come get us. But I don't think anyone believes there's any chance. So who does that really leave? Just Fournette, essentially. So you're kind of just betting on Fournette.
Do not try to dress down my statement.
I'm not.
Fournette and Trubisky, just because you don't believe
I'm talking
well, that's
it
his
out.
Thought process.
I'm talking it out. So I guess
Wes is fired up. He knows the stakes, so watch out, Greg.
Well, no, Greg always tries to diminish whatever you put out there. No. Oh, this isn't really going out on a limb.
Yeah, that's a
Greg
That's a Greg move.
That you talk out the percentage.
So you're saying it's just Fournette. Why don't you just say just Fournette and leave Trubisky out of it?
I was going to go.
Stop dumbing it down, Greg.
Fournette to the 49ers as my onion hanger. But now, since I have this opportunity, I'll just take you up on that anyways. So I'll kill my other one.
I'll take you up because why not? I want to just see what happens. I think it's a good prop. Let's go for it.
Oh, wait. Take you. Wait. I'm confused.
You're saying it will –
He's saying it's a defensive player. Oh, right. I agree. So I'm not going to take him up on that. Right.
Think it will be a defensive player?
Yes. I think that's a heavy favorite. Yeah.
Or a punter or a kicker. Or.
I think I will lose a sandwich, but I'm going to just be – I'm going to be a sport about it and take
I like
you
that.
Up.
Well, you did have a nice round where you let Sydney act as your conduit.
I'm taking every bet unless something is totally outlandish.
Yeah. I think – you know this game always confuses me. I think that the 49ers will stay in the pick and pick a defensive player, so that means that I will not take you on anything, right?
All right.
Good to know. All right, moving
on. Now I'm thinking about it.
Well, your pick.
I'm flipping back again. Because why would I change what my onion hanger was, even if it was an onion hanger? I'll take it. I'll take you up. Yeah, I'll say they take sense. Leonard Fournette. Why not?
Right. If that was your onion hanger.
It was going to be.
It makes sense that you would, you know.
It's gone now, though.
Right.
It's too bad. I got to come up with a new one.
Hmm. Sid, do you know that, as per tradition, the producer has to come up with a go-get-my-lunch prop for the draft as well?
I did become aware of that about 20 minutes ago. And
in fact, the Irishman.
Panic.
Brandon McGinnis is the only producer to ever win a sandwich prop, and it came on the draft last season when he predicted correctly that the Cowboys would take Jalen Smith in the first two rounds of the draft. He picked up four sandwiches there.
That was a nice one.
I think maybe the producers are cursed.
They were.
Even though he got that one right, Jalen Smith is now not doing so great, you know? So maybe I should sit this one out.
Nice try.
Nope.
He got his sandwiches, though. I do remember getting Brandon
the
sandwich.
He did. This is part of your job. You have to do it, Sid. So even if you have to kind of like lay low a little bit, maybe ease up on the drops for the next 15 minutes or so, you got to come up with something.
All right.
Essentially begin your draft prep when we did.
I'll go next. What do I know? Nothing. So – The one team that I follow very closely during this walk-up process, obviously, is the Jets, so I will throw one out there with the Jets. It is a double. It's a two-parter, a tease. What do they call it in your parlance, Greg? Is that a tease?
Parlay?
Parlay? Is that what it is?
Yeah. Parlay in the parlance?
Not a trifecta.
The Jets will go defense in the first round for a ninth consecutive year. Mm-hmm. And they will not take a quarterback in their first three picks.
Oh, wow.
I will take that.
Yeah, you went against the normal rules. That's sort of an onion hanger right there by putting two different things on the table. Because I agree, the top players this year, it seems like it's mostly defense up there, but I think they'll take a quarterback. So I'm taking you up on that sandwich.
Mark?
I will, too. I mean, it's a complex – I've tried these complex multi-pronged bets, and I'm like 0-9 on them. So I'm going to try to win one back.
And here's my logic. I don't need to get into the quarterback situation again, but I will say the Jets have so many holes on both sides of the roster that I think they are more likely to just stock up on various players that can help, and maybe Todd Bowles help save his job.
It's not crazy.
And also, I can
you're convincing me as you're talking.
Trade out of that number six pitch. I think they're desperate to do that as well, and I think that would be done all around the idea of stocking up the roster and kicking the can on quarterback till next year. So we'll see what
happens. And your GM would probably be in the position of having to already cut or release a quarterback he just drafted about 700 days ago or 365 days ago.
I don't think he's prepared
not a good
to
look.
Do that. It's such a bad look before Hackenberg's ever stepped on the field. We don't even know if the guy is real. Oh, this would be the Christian Hackenberg is real drop. But Sydney right now is powering away, trying to come up with
Christian Hackenberg is real.
So anyway, I got three sandwiches locked in on that one.
I'm a little worried about this one.
Yeah,
I think you did a good job.
Yeah, you kind of hoodwinked us with the double pronged maneuver.
I'll get screwed. Don't worry.
Well, OJ Howard is sitting out there too. I think there are a couple factors out there.
Yeah, I don't think they have the onions to pick Howard, but that could happen. Greg.
All right,
Greg, wearing the Henley today, by the way, on Chris Wessling's corner a little bit. Interesting.
Well, he is the strong silent type, so it's a good fit for him.
Real John
Henley,
Wayne.
Henley is what the strong silent types wear.
Yeah.
I like this.
Whatever you're wearing is what the strong silent types wear. Go ahead.
Reuben Foster in the news for failing.
Oh, Rubo.
That drug test. We talked about it a little bit on Monday's show. People a little worried, you know, will that crush his draft stock? I'm going to say no. That despite failing the drug test, despite having an altercation with the hospital worker and whatnot, some reports that he hasn't really made a great impression, I'll say he still gets taken in the top 15 picks, doesn't end up hurting his draft pick, Doc.
Top 15?
Top 15.
Mm. I'll take you up on that.
Hell, I don't know. Yeah, I'll take you up on that. Why not?
I had a prop.
Like, Reuben Foster, where is he going to go? I don't know.
Well, I think he would have gone. I think he was a lock for top 10
at
one point.
Yeah, people thought he'd be about a top 12 type of pick. I think maybe the Saints even were a factor.
I had a prop, which I will not use, where he falls out of the top 10, but I don't think he's going to fall much farther than that. The one thing that we're hearing is that the issues, the stuff that's cropped up, a lot of teams don't consider it a massive issue. I'm not going to take you up on that one, actually.
What happened at the doctor check-in? That was a fun little story.
Yeah, just that he was waiting for a long time for his tests, whether it was an MRI, I'm not really sure, and he started getting a little ornery, and he got into it with a hospital worker, you know, some sort of back and forth, and he ended up getting kicked out.
Maybe the hospital worker was a Class A jerk.
It's very possible.
I like mean linebackers. I would like if my team had
Thank
one.
You.
Well, mean to hospital workers, though.
Mean to everyone.
Mean to
How about that?
Hospital.
How about mean to anyone?
Mean to puppies.
Yes, Baltimore Raven. Rush for 28 yards right up the middle of our defense.
Take,
enough of that.
Take this guy off my draft board. Bad person. All right.
Wait, I hate to do this, but I really need to run to the men's room for a second.
Oh, my God.
So we're just going to stop down.
This is a first.
No, we're not going to stop, but we're going to do our read right now.
He's got to check on his MeUndies.
That is weird. That has never happened on this show before. There he goes. Wow.
Strong silent type, small bladder. We're going to have to stretch
Greg
his read out.
Greg just excuse himself?
He did.
To go use the restroom.
Yeah, that's what happened.
I hope it's not a real emergency.
Well,
might need some new underpants.
Well,
and
best luck
on that subject, elevate your underwear game to the next level with, you know what it is, MeUndies. What is MeUndies? Oh, just seriously soft, feel-good undies delivered right to your door. MeUndies are designed in L.A. and made from sustainably sourced micromodal.
Nailed it.
A fabric three times softer than cotton. MeUndies, softer than soft, luxe undies come in an ever-changing selection of classic colors, bold shades, and adventurous patterns so you can tailor your undies to your own personal style. And guess what?
What?
You can save time and money each month with a monthly subscription, and if you're not ready for a subscription, that's okay. You can still save. That's because MeUndies is offering you 20% off your first pair. Just use our special URL, MeUndies.com/NFL2017, and get 20% off your first pair. And go ahead, revamp your underwear drawer. You deserve it. Once again, that's MeUndies.com/NFL2017, MeUndies.com/NFL17. I will, real quick, I don't want to belabor the point, but both of your women were excited about the MeUndies scenario?
Absolutely.
They're performance-enhancing undies. It's like using a corked bat. Let me just put it that way. The way they're engineered, which is taking nothing away.
It's like a Wonder Bra
from you guys or anybody that wears MeUndies, which is an excellent product. But that if there's another reason why to get these.
Oh, yeah. They contour the lower body very well. I would say that I am a fringe. I'm closing in on a subscription. I'm not just saying that because the rest of my underwear selection.
This coming from someone who didn't even wear underwear until the last month.
They have converted me, and I'm wearing that leopard print one right now, and I want to see what other selections
leopard
they have.
Print.
Whatever it is, that black and white.
Panda bears.
Sydney, can we work on getting a statement from the shadowy league figure relevant to this discussion on why it is not an individualized offer code?
Sure thing.
Thank you. Respectfully ask. Like, hey, the guys on part of the show would like a explanation why the offer code is universal.
I predict the answer will be vanilla.
And here comes Greg, right on cue. Emergency averted.
Greg, we decided not to even do the MeUndies read. We spent the entire time talking about your abrupt exit.
I have no regrets.
No, hey, listen, it could have ended a lot worse than it did. Put it that way. All right. By the way, next round, did you just go a second time, Mark?
I have not.
Yeah. Before we do that, let's do our a group wager. It's just one prop, and we all make a guess. And that will be the following scenario. What slot will the first quarterback be taken in? So whether you believe that to be the first round, I think most people think it will happen in the first round. Forget about the team because the teams could trade out, and it's very possible that's how this ends up playing out, although you never know. So not the team, just the number, 1 through 32. Go around the room. Or if you don't think anybody quarterback goes, say off the board.
That would be an onion.
Do that too.
Hanger.
That would be an onion hanger. Mark, you're up.
Just reading the tea leaves. Don't want this to happen. I'm going to go number 5 Titans. Well, number 5, wherever that ends up being, whatever team.
So someone trading up, possibly the Browns.
Not trading down, trading up. I believe into 5.
I'm also going to take number 5 since the Titans are 55-45 to trade down.
Hmm. Interesting.
Well, reading the tea leaves once again, 5 is makes a lot of sense. 6 makes a lot of sense. So I will say, just to be different, I will say the Jets will trade out of 6, and I believe the Browns will trade into it, and they'll make the pick there. So I'll say 6.
My thought process was 10 or 12, really, were the two I was looking at. People think the Bills might take Deshaun Watson. I think Trubisky could end up just falling to the Browns, which no one would be too shocked by. But I'm going to go with the Bills. I think let's go number 10.
Number 10. So 2 5s, a 6, and a 10. Mark, go your next prop.
All right, controversial player. Talk about a guy with a lot of baggage. But also, it depends what kind of team you are, where your ownership's at. Joe Mixon, considered by some to be a phenomenal talent. I say that he is gone by pick number 35.
35.
I had a Joe Mixon one that is similar to this.
We could team up.
That was my onion hanger.
What happens? See,
that's a tough game.
So other people's onion hangers are just my second or third prop.
Well,
I'm getting warmed up here.
Mine is a little more oniony.
Well, you can still hang it.
You can still
it
do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you're saying he will go in the top 35 picks? Despite that horrific domestic violence incident at the restaurant, which obviously is on a lot of people's radar.
And we've been starting to go to school on these players, and I think the general thought is he might be the most complete running back in this draft, even more than Leonard Fournette. And if not for that incident, you know, he'd probably be a top 20 pick. I will take you up on that. I think that's right around the over-under, so that makes some sense. But that's real early on day two. That is the first 3 picks.
Those 3 picks are Cleveland, San Francisco, and Jacksonville. You could argue – I didn't want to go deeper because I think those 3 teams potentially would have a need at running back and would potentially take a chance.
You could also make the argument that 1 or 2 of those teams will scratch that itch in the first round, which will – leave maybe just 1 team that has a need at that point. I will also go, I'll take you up on that. I just think teams, it's a different world. We were just talking about that earlier in the show. I think some teams don't want to invest a pick that high with someone with that type of baggage. So I think, mid to late second round might be a more likely spot. I'll take you up.
This is a tricky one. I'm going to take it. It's a tough one for me to figure out, but I'm going to take it. Why not?
Wes, you're up.
Christian McCaffrey does not get drafted by a team called the Carolina Panthers.
Kind of interesting. So you're taking the field. That's a clever move.
The funny Wes, look at mine right here. Christian McCaffrey will not go to the Panthers. So we're in the same boat on this. So
Wes
obviously I will not
Wes
take
is taking
you on
this 78-85 record seriously. He wants to bounce back.
So anyway, since that was my exact next prop, I will not take you up on it.
But conventional wisdom is that he is going to the Panthers.
But that's bupkis to me. Conventional wisdom the day before the draft.
I mean, I'd like it a lot better if the Eagles were picking before the Panthers. I'm looking, barring trades, I'm looking at 1-7, and I don't see the candidate that grabs him ahead of Carolina, and he's such an ideal talent and need fit for Carolina that this is one of the rare ones where I'm not going to take you up. I think that your logic
wow.
is right.
DJ.
Wait, you said he is going to Carolina, right?
I believe he's going to Carolina.
Well, I said he's going to someone not named Carolina.
So you would take him up.
Oh, I will take you up then. Okay. I heard that wrong. Yeah,
DJ Daniel Jeremiah tweeted he was wondering if McCaffrey would even get to 8. I will not take you up on that just because anytime there's that big of a consensus, that's I don't know. You never know. I mean, does everyone really know something that much? It seems like it could be 50-50, but there's always a chance, like DJ said, that he doesn't even get to Carolina.
Well,
San Diego would be surprising, but DJ kind of mentioned even
especially because they're not a franchise. Yeah,
right, that's a good point. The Chargers, maybe the Greybeards jump up into the top 8. That would be
they
cool.
have a featured back.
They do. He said some teams even with running backs in place are like him that much because he's not your traditional, 1A, he would maybe be a
I guess I'm the reason I am going Panthers is because if 1-7, Fournette's going to go to one of those teams, maybe the 49ers, then McCaffrey is your clear number 2 guy, and it just fits so neatly for the Panthers that if they're going to pick a running back, it's him in my book.
Yeah.
My next one's simple. The Browns and the Texans will take quarterbacks in the first round. Stops dead in its tracks.
Well, I just
something
think
offensive.
I think they will. I can't take you on that. I think both teams are bound to do
You're
that.
Starting to come out of your new strategy.
It's too logical. I just agree that they will.
Yeah, my logic is obvious. The Browns.
If you threw a wild card in there, then I'm taking you up. But they're not. Those are two clear quarterback targets.
The Browns have 2 first round picks, and they could hypothetically trade out one of those picks, even move back in the first round and still get a guy they like potentially. And the Texans, I think they're desperate to turn the page again once more. And I think there's pressure once again coming down from ownership. Get me my new quarterback. Make me forget about the old one. So I think it's –
throw the Cardinals in there, I take you up.
Wow. I can't do the three.
Can't triple stamp a double stamp.
Yeah.
Hey, what did you come down on this, Wes?
I feel like the logic is sound that the Browns and Texans plan to draft a quarterback in the first round, but I'm going to take you up on it because there's no telling who's going to be there at 25. The guy the Texans want might be off the board, so they might have to adjust on the fly. I will take you up on it.
I'm falling into the trap again by including too many parts. Whenever you do that, you get in trouble, but it wouldn't be gutsy at all to say one of
right.
both one
right.
of them.
No,
I don't
sense.
Even think this is too many parts. I think you're
right. I think it's perfect. Like we must be getting good at these games because all of these feel like 50-50 shots to me, almost impossible to pick. But I'm gonna do what Wes says for the same reason that you never know. And maybe the Texans love Patrick Mahomes and maybe he gets taken before there. Who knows?
I have a theory on why they all seem like 50-50. It's not just that we're getting better. The draft is not our area of expertise, so our knowledge is like, okay, that sounds reasonable.
And I think it's one of the more mysterious
got
first
another
rounds
good theory.
In a long time.
That Reuben Foster one is still like rattling around my brain.
Well, people have said, even though we don't know
who knows?
We don't know anything. And then on top of that, the conventional wisdom is people know less about this draft of what's going to happen than any draft in a while. I mean, no one has any clue what the 49ers are even going to do at two. There's like five or six players people have been throwing to them. So,
all right. By the way, just for time reasons, Greg, you're going to do your second one. Then we have one more each, and then we got to go.
Okay. This whole taking my onion hanger before really confused.
Walla Walla is a big onion.
There it is.
Giant sweet Spanish onions are good. And a red Zeppelin.
Maybe I'll
is
save
a big,
this one.
Red onion.
Well, Greg, you're up.
Sorry, Red Walla Walla.
Couldn't you have done this in the restroom?
I like the internal monologue.
I'm going to have John Ross. Maybe I'm going too deep here. John Ross is going to be taken ahead of Mike Williams. These are kind of the two of the top three receivers. There's been some talk Ross actually might fall right out of the first round, so then I would be totally wrong. But this guy's fast, and people love fast.
People like speed. He set the combine
record.
I'm
just going to bet on that.
He broke the record of Chris Johnson, so people get excited about it. But I think the people that get more excited about that are probably the people like the layman. And maybe not the people in the building.
Well, I'm saying what I would get excited about. I hear Mike Williams, and he kind of sounds like one of those guys who maybe doesn't get a ton of separation.
You're just thinking of the other Mike Williams, and,
oh, yeah,
and he's poisoning the well.
That's true.
For this Mike Williams. I will take you up on that. I think that Williams will go before Ross.
Once again, it seems like a reasonable 50-50 proposition.
Right on the nose.
But I'll take you up on
I think this one's a little bit of an upset.
I'll take
it's
you
definitely
up
an up. It's definitely an upset pick.
It's a 58-42 upset.
John Ross's fragility will be the deciding factor.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got some injury concerns, and Mike Williams is a lot of late-hour visits. Teams are interested. I will take you up, too. I think Mike Williams goes first.
Fragility, a big factor with these players. Fertility, less so.
One of the players.
We don't have all the information
on that.
Is
that a Travis Henry pick?
One of the players has an 8-year-old kid.
That's an old kid.
It's an old kid.
It's a lot of mileage on that kid. All right, last round. Here we go. And if you haven't dropped an onion hanger yet, it is time.
All right. Well, number one, I like giving food to my friends. I'm okay occasionally swinging for the fences. I'm not going to give you some robotic, ultra-logical onion hanger. I think that this outdoor setting.
I'll show you a little bit about growing huge onions.
I've already told you that weather is going to be a legit factor in this draft. There's going to be a lot of these clowns at these tables.
Well, you. All right. You and the National Weather Service.
They're trying to get their pick in. Quick, get your card up, but there's a lot of confusion. Are we postponing this pick, that pick? That for the first time since the Vikings in 2003.
Oh, yeah.
Missed a pick. I'm not saying in the first round, but between round 1 and 7, a team is going to miss a pick. And it's not going to be as the headline grabber like it was when the Vikings completely botched that. But over the course of these rounds, weather, chaos, utter sort of just nonsense is going to force one team to blank on a pick.
Good luck ever keeping the draft indoors again when you've got this kind of mayhem.
Total mayhem. Bedlam.
They'll be putting these drafts in underground bunkers after what happens
as
this
well
year.
They should.
Look at the excitement we've added by putting it outside.
Right. Next year.
No one will miss their pick, in my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah, next year teams draft while we shoot paintballs at them. I don't know.
I like
I'm going to take you up.
Oh, surprising.
Feels reasonable. I could go 50-50 on this one. I will take you up on it.
That was good on you.
That was good onion.
Good hanger. All right, Wes, time for yours.
Well, I'm not convinced we're ever paying off these sandwiches. So
it's happening.
Get it out there.
This is the last edition if we don't pay it off.
My onion hanger.
If you want big onions, you got to get big onion plants.
The old man woke up, and now he won't shut up.
Joe Mixon gets drafted before Dalvin Cook.
Oh, wow. Well, I will take you up on that just because I like having the ones all make sense together. I just said he's not going to get taken in the top 35, so that's an easy call for me.
I'm saying Dalvin Cook gets drafted like in the 40s or 50s.
Okay, that's
a good onion hanger. I will take you up on it too.
Okay.
I'll take you up on it. Next. A lot of sandwiches in play. J.J. Watt, Texans all-world defender, will tweet or Instagram or some use of his social media a childhood photo with brother TJ along with some cringy faux inspirational hokum when TJ is drafted.
Wait, I feel like there's like 100% chance.
Right, he's almost absolutely going to do that.
Well, I'm actually saying the specific.
That's called that's like tweet. An onion protector.
No, that, I'm
it's
saying
like some MeUndies.
A specific image from their childhood together, and it has he has to have something cringy, faux inspirational.
Who decides hoping. Whether it's cringy?
Okay, so
Sydney.
Let's break this down. If he sends a picture, let's say, of him and his brother at last year's Wisconsin game or something, that doesn't count.
No good.
It has to be childhood.
No good. It has to be something from – I'm going to extend it a little bit to, like, you know, the formative years. So anything from
high
when they were,
before.
You know, single-digit age through junior high school.
In some uniform that we've never seen before, some early high school
Now, what
experience.
If – what if? Let's just have a for instance. The quote is, always thought you would make it this far. So proud of you, bro. Does that count?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. It doesn't have to
be prepubescent.
I don't know what's going on downstairs or under the armpits, so I can't tell you.
But it's got to be like 12 and under. I mean, like if it's their freshman high school photo, that's not really childhood.
High school.
Yeah. No, I said coming of age, formative years type thing. So, okay. Yes. Anything
well, they're pretty far apart in years, so yeah.
I will take – no, I agree with you. I feel like this is –
I do,
like,
too.
God.
I'm sorry. I didn't know. I think actually what you've done is made an excellent prediction that yeah. This is exactly what J.J. Watt would do. J.J. Watt would need to be put into, like, a medically induced coma to not do this.
Right, exactly. I agree. He's going to do it.
This movie's going to use it.
I'm not going to get a single, like, it's, prop out of this?
I mean, it was a fine onion.
I'm stunned.
I don't – I'm
it's
not going to say
it's a fun prediction. It's not yeah. – it wouldn't say that it's shockingly –
wow.
Out of character or bold for
I feel like
Watt.
It's a one in –
just the hyper specificity of it all. Is that how you say it?
Specificity.
Specificity of it all.
To me, it's a 55-45 thing. Like he's
of course it is.
He's doing that. The only question is whether the picture is new or old. Those are the only questions. And I'm going 55 that it's an old picture.
All right.
So no one took you up?
A rare onion hanger without
– stunner. All right, Greg. Anyone. And Sydney on deck. Wow, she's nervous, I can tell.
All right. Leonard Fournette to 49ers was going to be it, but that's gone now. So let's go with the Saints or the Cardinals. One of these two teams will take their quarterback of the future on Thursday night.
Okay, one of them.
One of those two teams.
Can I ask you one question? When we say quarterback of the future, we're not waiting 4 years to find out if he actually
pans out. No, a quarterback.
Okay.
They will take a first-round quarterback, one of them.
Yes.
I will take you up on that.
I will take you up. I don't think either will.
They're both pretty high. So I think
Cardinals at 13.
I think they might have to trade back in to get it. You know,
I think the Cardinals will take a quarterback, but I'm going to take you up on it because they need a lot of things right now.
All right.
I'll take the field.
I'll take it.
The Cardinals really need it. A quarterback of the future. That's
they do, but they could easily address it next year too.
Or when all of these quarterbacks fall to the second round.
Right.
That could get me.
We're talking first round. Right.
First round.
13 is rich unless you're really in love with
one of
these guys.
I'm hoping that one of them trades back up, maybe the Saints. Mm-hmm. But
Saints at 33, they could bump back in. Hmm. Are they? No, they're at 32. Ooh, 32.
They have the last pick in the first round. That's a good spot for a quarterback with the much-coveted fifth-year option.
You know, Drew Brees, by the way, has
– I didn't even factor
is
that in. But
on record that he plans to play into his 40s.
And all this talk about them needing, like, desperately to draft a quarterback, come on. He's still one of the best five quarterbacks in the NFL.
So little
calm
drop
down,
off.
Sean Payton.
Yeah, everybody calm down. All right.
Drafting Garrett Grayson every year.
Finally, we might need some timpani for this one. Sid, because I know this is such a big moment for you to carry on the torch that the Irishman passed to you after going 4-0 last year. Your prop.
All right. Here it is. I'm like shaking.
I've never seen Sydney this nervous.
Okay.
She's not a gambler.
There will be a TJ Watt cam. And we will see T.J. Watt, like the camera will cut to him and linger on him, you know, like a real, not just a, oh, hey, there's T.J. Watt, but it's going to cut to him specifically at least 9 times before he's drafted.
So you're, all right, first of all, do you know any of the production details or are you just going all?
I know no production
right, because you
okay.
could find this out.
All right, so you're saying
there
will be a camera in T.J. Watt's home or his family's home, wherever he is, and before he gets drafted, which could be in the first round. It could be in the second round. There will be nine cutaways.
At least nine. Is that what you're saying?
At least nine.
Before he's drafted. That's a large number.
I will take that. Yeah,
I will take you too.
And you know what?
Like TD's Calvin Johnson.
This is why we've got great listeners. They can keep track of the exact number here. That's another game they can play.
That is an all-time onion.
Stop treating them like they're toddlers, Greg.
Listen, there were 16 cutaways.
I'm just saying we're going to be writing. We're not going to be totally focused on every second. And I'm not. I don't watch ESPN anyways.
Sydney just shared some logic there that there were 16 cutaways of TJ's brother during that playoff game while he was on the bench.
That's different.
But it is a little apples and oranges there. I think you're in deep trouble.
But
here,
what if
Sid,
JJ is there? What if JJ's in the home?
That's a wild card.
That's a wild card.
Seems reasonable.
He's probably there.
But before drafted.
That's a lot before.
Yeah.
I mean, of course I'm taking you up. I like it. It's a creative
question. I mean, it's not as bad as when TD went for 40 touchdowns.
24 for Calvin.
24 touchdowns
Randy
for Calvin Johnson. But it's close.
So just as a summation here, what Sydney needs to happen? She needs TJ Watt to be one of the players that has NFL Network cameras. Is it NFL Network only?
You said ESPN, didn't you?
Or is it ESPN? That's important, actually. We'll give
I
you
hadn't
either.
Thought about those details. Yeah,
you want to give her either?
Well, here's the thing. It's going to be one or the other. They probably wouldn't both.
NFL Network feels like they could go super gushy on this.
So whichever network has them.
Whichever network.
Right. And if neither network has them, you lose.
She's already done before the draft even starts. But Sydney's a very honest woman, but I also feel like she might have some intel that she's not sharing with us.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. Oh,
interesting.
I just got a feeling. Bit of a Sessler that Sid's got an eight.
I think I'm running in high circles.
You're running in those high circles.
It's all that new money.
Corrupt circles.
You're above the treetops a little bit on this one. All right, there you go. So there are the 2017 draft props, many of which will be decided by the time you next hear from us. We will record a podcast immediately after the first round and get it to you, midnight or so. Pacific time will drop, in the middle of the night on the East Coast. So when you wake up, it's there for you. I don't know the time zone situation in the UK and beyond. You guys can figure it out. But just know that we are going to get this thing out to you right after the draft as soon as possible. And then again on Saturday after the completion of the seventh round, we'll be back upstairs and we will do a full recap of the draft. So that will be our next two shows. And we are very excited to bring them to you.
Should be ready for the morning commute in the UK. About 8 hours there, 8 or 9 in the morning.
For those who work, not everyone in the UK works. Some will just be in their rooms doing literally nothing.
Our friend Simon is a taxi driver, so who knows what kind of hours he has.
Right.
Let's go. God, I love the Raiders. This is Dan Hansis signing off for The Quiet Storm, the mailman, the boss, and new money. He's going to give us some new sandwiches soon. Till Thursday.